And I want to challenge you to ask yourself, when you face some difficult situation, you come to God, what is the emphasis of your prayer? Is it the circumstance? Do you tell Him about it? You describe it. You tell Him how awful it is, how bad it is, how long it's been going on. In other words, is that the emphasis or God? Thank you. Because you're an omniscient God, you understand Thy servant. Because you're an all-powerful God, you have the power to deliver me. And on, you see, what you're doing is you are glorifying God. You're magnifying God. You're praising God in your prayer. You're exalting Him. And friends, you can't praise and magnify and exalt God and Him sit up in heaven and ignore it. I'm telling you, I believe that stirs the heart of God like nothing else. God, we are hopeless and helpless apart from You. We trust You because of who You are. God-centered praying. That is one of the keys of getting this pendulum off the doubt side onto the believing side, because it happens and we don't even realize what's happening. So it is God-centered praying. But there's a second very important thing here, and that's this. It isn't only God-centered praying, but the second thing that's important is waiting upon the Lord. Now, we're talking about how to get ourselves off of this negative side onto the positive side. How to keep our pendulum on the faith side and get it off the doubt side. And that is in our praying. Make our prayers God-centered prayers, because when these things hit us, we're going to pray. We're going to pray something. The issue is, what are we going to pray? What's the subject of our prayer? Is the subject of our prayer God and His power and might and love? Is the subject of our prayer how awful we feel and how bad things are and how impossible situations look? So the second thing I want you to notice here is waiting upon the Lord. Now, here's what happened. When Jehoshaphat heard that news, the normal natural response for the commander-in-chief, call the generals, let's have a war meeting in the cabinet room immediately. We have to determine what our strategy is. That's not what he did. Now listen, the enemy is on its way, and they're not far. In fact, the man who gave the report said, this is where they are. And he knew where En-Gedi was, 25 or 30 miles south of them. He knew where they were. So the natural, normal thing for him to do would be to get busy trying to figure out how to defend themselves. That's the natural, normal thing. When something hits us like that, that's sort of what we do. We want to know, what can I do? But the right response, always the right response, the Bible says he turned to seek the Lord. God, what do you want? Now, there is no military manual anywhere that says, when your enemies are within distance of sight, when your enemies can almost be heard in their march, what you do is to go have a prayer meeting. There's no military manual that ever say that. Because you see, that's the way the world looks at it. And remember what we said? When you and I begin to get God's view of a thing, something begins to happen to us. Now, here's what I want you to see that's so very important. As he's praying, God is doing something to Jehoshaphat. This prayer meeting that Jehoshaphat had in the temple, while the people were outside there all around praying and fasting and crying out to God, while this was going on, what's happening to Jehoshaphat? This is why waiting upon the Lord is so important. Because if Jehoshaphat, listen, if he had not prayed and said, here's what we'll do. Or if the prophet had said, well, here's what I think you ought to do. Imagine telling the king what you ought to do is you ought to get your armies out there and get the choir and the orchestra and have them out front and just head down that toward and get it singing and praising God and just shouting. I mean, it would have absolutely made no sense. Here's the very important thing. It was in his waiting upon God in prayer and crying out to God. It was in that time God was preparing Jehoshaphat to hear the answer and to believe God's answer, because I'm here to tell you, he never fought a battle like this before, ever. You don't fight battles by sending your army out, telling them they're not going to have to fight, and sending the choir out to sing and praise God in front of them. That's not the way you win battles. What was God doing then in this prayer meeting? Not only was he building this man's faith, getting his pendulum back over here where he wanted it, but what's he doing? In his prayer, he's building his faith to strengthen him, to get him ready to be willing to hear and believe the answer, because the answer was going to be so bizarre, so absolutely unnatural that, listen, no man in his naturalness would ever have accepted it. Verse 15, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Then he says in verse 17, you're not even going to need to fight in this battle. All you need to do is to station yourselves and stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, that was totally opposite of everything Jehoshaphat had ever done in a battle. Now, what made him listen to this prophet? What made him listen to this prophet was that while he was crying out to God and waiting upon the Lord in prayer there in the temple, God was getting him ready. He was moving his viewpoint from military might to divine might, from military might to divine might, from fighting to standing, from doubting to trusting. He was moving his mind gradually. What you and I have to understand is that God doesn't suddenly change everything we think. And that's why that prayer, God-centered praying, and listen, waiting upon the Lord. And as he waited, and as he cried out to God, this prophet stood up and said, listen, this isn't your battle, this is God's battle. Well, fine, how does he want us to fight it? That's not the issue. You're not going to fight it. You're going to stand still and watch God's salvation on your behalf. The Bible says when they heard that and he announced that, I mean, those folks, they praised God. They fell on their faces praising the Lord. Now, so that's what God promised. But what's the strategy? How's this going to work? Friend, if he hadn't spent his time in God-centered praying, magnifying the greatness and power and the might of God, and recalling God's blessings in the past, listen, this pendulum would never have swung over here had he not prayed out to God and cried out to God, and God began to build his faith and strengthen his faith. He would never have been willing to believe God's strategy for this battle, because then he says, the Lord said to him, he said, here's what I want you to do, Jehoshaphat. Assemble your forces, every man. But what I want you to do this time, I want you to put all the singers, all the musicians out in front. Now, when you head south, as you go, he says, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to send them out singing and praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. He said, I want you to go out singing. And I don't want you to go out singing, we shall overcome. I want you to go out singing, thanking God that he has already overcome. I think it chose a good song on this deal. It's not we shall fight the war, but the battle is already won. He says they're to go out singing and praising God, giving thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness is everlasting. God had already won the battle. Now, what in the world enabled Jehoshaphat to tell his army? It is in that time of prayer, God-centered praying, and waiting for God's timing, that he was able to hear what God said, do what God said, the way God said it, and the time God said it. Now what happens? So they march out singing and praising God and giving thanks to him for his kindness and goodness and love is everlasting. And you know what happens? Listen, this is how absolutely important it is. Their absolute obedience to him set the enemy in such disarray and confusion. They rose up to fight, and they were fighting each other. And the Bible says they absolutely, completely annihilated one another in verse 23. And so that when Judah came, all they could find in verse 24 were dead corpses lying around, and not a single solitary one had escaped.